talk soon.
I will. Thank you, and you as well.
All right. Thank
All
you.
Right.
All right, guys. That was Attorney Griggs. Please, again, go to his website, GeraldAGriggs.com, GeraldAGriggs.com. All right, Judge, so fasten your seatbelt. We're getting ready to switch gears. This is going to be fun. I'm really going to enjoy this part. I always love to listen, to hear conversation betwixt you and Marsh Teray. But also, somewhere in there, we're going to talk about Whoopi Goldberg. And I'm very, very excited about that. But anyway, let's do this little intro. I want to do it to the best of my ability, so I'm going to play this.
Anyway, we got Marsh Teray here, and he's been on the ground in the movement, talking with folks, teaching them firearms. What is the speech is going to be about today to the conservative movement, though?
Well, we have to make sure that we're recognizing that urban America, particularly black America, that does not mean, you know, excluding other Americans.
Right.
This is a demographic that's been targeted by leftist media, by the left in general, to make sure that they're outside of their Second Amendment rights. We have the highest levels of gun violence,
mm-hmm.
and association with the highest levels of disrespect for the Second Amendment. So the conservative movement has to make sure that we're informing and shifting culture as opposed to just down-talking in that demographic.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about some of the solutions in that way.
You know, it's interesting because my speech is going to be about the crime issue.
Mm.
And one of the things that I've noticed is that people cannot defend themselves
mm.
in these communities because of the laws that are currently in place.
Right.
And so Joe Biden's response was, of course, to talk about the guns as if the guns are just shooting themselves.
Right.
What is your solution to that?
Well, one is to expose how all gun control is racist.
Yeah.
And I don't say that from like this fake woke, you know, catchphrase type of thing. I mean, legitimately, this is a thing that was designed to stop black people from having the means to defend
mm-hmm.
themselves. And by exposing that, we basically see how racist Joe
mm-hmm.
Biden is and has been for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the pictures of him with the Grand Wizard from the KKK.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the staunch proponents of the Democratic, you know, angle has been gun control. So by exposing that in these demographics, we not only expose that and remove, you know, and shift voting trends, but we also create more of a unity and a healing around something that we all fundamentally believe in, the right of us all to defend our life. So exposure and then solution deal with us all healing as a nation, as opposed to just telling people in certain communities, well, you know, you're cool with the killers because
right.
you live in a rough neighborhood.
So you know, I get this question from my viewers all the time. How is Marsh Teray
mm-hmm.
able to go into the community
yeah.
and make an impact? Because they ask me the same question. How are you able to go into these communities and report on it?
Yeah.
And I said they accept me as family.
Right.
I'm talking about stories that matter to them. So why do they accept my survey to teach them gun safety?
For one, we don't look super tactical. We you know, the model that we have, there's certain gyms that have a very come as you are type of thing. We're not here to get the people that know everything. That's
mm-hmm.
great. Awesome. You know everything. We're here to get people that may be curious about firearms, know they live in a certain demographic that may be rough.
Yeah.
Know that they want to, you know, inform themselves. You don't even have to have a firearm. We just want you to come as you are and learn. And that approach always
works. All of that is going to be in your speech today, guys.
Yeah.
The great Marsh Teray, guys. I'm going to send it back to you guys in New York. This is just a tease to
mm.
what's going to be happening on the main.
All right, guys. That was actually a tease as well. please grab your non-alcoholic libations, pen and paper. Put your hands together as we welcome Marsh Teray. Hello.
Hey, how y'all doing? I appreciate y'all for having me again.
Hey, blessed and favored. I'm very, very excited. Any updates as it relates to the audio we heard? I call you Mr. Gun Control is Racist, but any updates regarding a
yeah.
political position yeah. or how you approach
yep,
the community, et cetera?
Yep, we're in Philadelphia. We opened a solutionary center in Philadelphia where we will be teaching basic firearm safety. Classes are free to all. You know, there'll be multiple classes per day. There'll be classes on finance, classes on crypto, classes on real estate, classes on growing food. It's a small space, but it's our space. The Philadelphia murder rate for last year crept over 560. As we continued to travel around the country with Black Guns Matter, more and more black people were able to arm themselves, as now black Americans are the largest new gun-buying demographic. When we started our organization a few years ago, that was one of our goals. We accomplished that within 3 years. The unfortunate part was, you know, I'm from Philadelphia. I live in Philly. Every year that we were traveling around the country, the violent crime rate in Philadelphia increased. And again, last year, the homicide rate crept over the 561-62 mark. And there's a correlation there, because when we first started our classes in Philadelphia for the year 2016, we had the lowest violent crime that we had had since 1979. All we did was conflict resolution, basic firearm classes, and get people to go, you know, if they chose to get their license to carry, we helped them with that process. So there's a correlation. We were here. The homicide rate was completely lower than it had been in 3 decades. We left for 3 years. It consistently rose every year, even though violent crime decreased annually up, you know, for those 3 years, as well as more and more black people bought firearms. And, you know, we raised about $500,000 to keep these classes free over the years to everyone. And it's been beautiful. So the update is we have the Solutionary Center here in Philadelphia. The classes will be not just firearms related, but obviously that's, you know, a staple of our work at Black Guns Matter. But, you know, a firearm and safety and training is one thing. But now we want to make sure that our community has a HQ where they can come learn and get some basic information on multiple things to strengthen their life and, you know, develop more equity in their life, for lack of a better term, right? The firearm is just a way to defend that equity. Proper training, conflict resolution is a way to avoid, you know, foolishness. But at the same time, if and need be, in the absolute last resort, we want people to be able to defend their lives. So that's the, you know, the update on Black Guns Matter, on our Solutionary Center here in Philadelphia. And I'm just super excited to link up with everybody, you know, across the city. And I won't be traveling as much this year. So those are the updates.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And we're going to just jump right in. I muted and unmuted Judge. I need to check with him, see what's going on with his background noise. But I am going to play the clip because we're going to talk about
background.
Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, okay. Okay.
There's no background noise. That's just carrier wave noise, because we've got a lot of stuff knocked out in the Memphis area due to this winter situation. 200,000 people are without power here. Or 200,000 homes are without power here in this area. So it's a real mess, and I have no Wi-Fi, so I'm alternating between something LTE and 5G. It's flipping back and forth. So let's see. Let me add something to this mix. I'm trying to help you out, Brother Tour. I want you to catch up with Colin Noir to get some of these ads from some of these gun companies.
Mm-hmm.
So you can help with your financing. One thing people don't get, and it's a shame they don't get it, because they would heap more blame on this jackass in the White House, Biden, who,
mm-hmm,
along with Stennis some 40 years ago started off with this inane war on drugs bullshit.
Yeah.
And what has happened is that the same war on drugs that can't stop the importation or smuggling in of drugs is also the same vehicle that's being used to smuggle in the serious hardware.
Yeah.
In Shelby County, when I was a criminal court judge, and that started 30-some years ago, we had a sign-off sheet on everything that local law enforcement had seized. And this was the fifth largest criminal jurisdiction in America at the time. The good stuff did not come from locally. A lot of it, an enormous amount of it, and I'm sure you know the understand the significance of this, it could be traced back to Interarmco, Virginia, which was the outlet by the U.S. government on weaponry that got to South America. And what we were finding is that arms were being smuggled in with the drugs from South America, basically cocaine. Later on, we got Kalashnikov material being smuggled in from Israel along with opiates. Then we wound up getting a lot of stuff smuggled in, opiates along with American weaponry from South Korea, who was replacing the American-supplied hardware with stuff their indigenous industry, Daewoo, was producing. And we also started getting in a lot of stuff toward the end of my time on the bench from Iraq and Afghanistan. That would be opiates along with Kalashnikov material, Comblock stuff. Mm-hmm. And the theory looks like it was, we need these people to raise money, so we'll turn the blind eye to this.
Right.
And that will let them fight communism and then now terrorism. And it's a farce because just like the war on drugs, it is not valid. It has no impact on the real problems. And people are not buying class 3 stuff, submachine guns and full auto weapons across the counter or at gun show. That's just an outright lie. And the
Correct.
Thing that I look at as a background that I've noticed over the last 50 years of being in law is this. Individuals arm for exactly the same reason that nation states arm in the world environment. That's for protection. Considering
right.
the hell that has been generated in our communities, it is a sin, a shame, and blasphemous for some jackass to go around mm-hmm. talking about we need to be disarmed in the face of this unmanly, emasculated violence that comes out of single-parent homes where there is no man training and no appropriate acculturation and socialization going on in these homes. So these kids are overly emotive, impulse-driven, and extremely violent because they've never been taught to control that. Now,
right.
we can't have this crap going on in our communities. And I want to invite you, by the way, on another project. They have recruited me to run for mayor of the city of Memphis in 2023, so it'll be JJB in 23, send Brown downtown. But I want to talk to you about some plans that I've got in place to get a control on this mess, and you might be interested in spreading around, and I'll welcome you to do that. So we'll talk after the show, or maybe I might mention it during the course of the show. But you got to get us set with Brother Cole in the wire so you can get you some commercials from Smith & Wesson and H&K and Glock and a few other people.
Yeah, 100%. I want to touch on what you said in regards to, this farce that is we somehow need to be de-armed because the guns are coming from, it's just like across the state. One of those falsehoods, and, Biden said yesterday at the press conference that he was having, he made a bunch of, legitimate, there's no way that you don't know that you're lying type of statements. One of those that he harped on was the concept that, when the Second Amendment was made, you couldn't have a cannon, you couldn't have this, you couldn't have that. These are things that he has tried to push into, the mainstream narrative that somehow that clearly are wrong, but at the same time he tries to push him as the voice of reason, and he is not. In regards to international firearms, there's a great movie called Lord of War with Nicolas Cage, and they touch on that a lot in that movie, where the particular character played by Nicolas Cage, and his brother, they decide to go into the international arms dealer. Now, those guns would wind up in the hands of places where there was embargoes, or America had sanctions, or things where they agreed to, certain generals and things like that would turn a blind eye because they needed someone that could get those guns into those places to make those conflicts happen, but their hands would remain clear. That's no different than what happened with the CIA. That's no different than, in the 80s, obviously, 70s and 80s with cocaine. Ronald Reagan, cut half the National Guard troops in half so the cocaine could flow through Miami, turning into crack, so forth and so on. These are tactics and strategies, tactic being short-term and strategy being long-term. These are things that have been imposed on American communities, more specifically urban and black communities, for some time now. The problem now for everyone else, which they're starting to see, is our Second Amendment fates are intertwined. So now it's not enough to just say, well, that's just the black people's problem over there because they're just killing each other over product and guns. Now when you start tying it into Operation Fast and Furious, the irony of the government telling us, when the Second Amendment is clear, the irony of the government telling us we need more background checks when we already have them, and then saying, you know, we have to find out who's responsible with firearms, when situations like Operation Fast and Furious, where tons of, you know, firearms by the government were left and or transported and given to drug cartels. No different than the amazing amounts and tons of munitions left over in Afghanistan on that sloppy, you know, pullout. So the irony of this government, especially this administration, telling the American people, especially trying to use black communities, a.k.a. urban America, as the springboard to get these things off, that somehow they're the the shining light of what it means to be responsible gun owners is just completely false. I think the American people in general, and more specifically, and I say more specifically not to diss any other communities, but I live in a black community. I live where the gun control is there to control and patrol and violate my community's human right to self-defense. So, again, I say that as a disclaimer because a lot of people are sensitive right now. This isn't to diss anyone else. This is to say the community that I live in has to become more informed about we are not going to be in alignment with any so-called public servant that would attempt to trick us into believing that us being de-armed when those firearms are either A, placed there by, you know, international so-called companies and or governments in tandem with our government, or B, somehow that if the guns are from just a state across or a bridge or away, one state across, somehow that same gun problem isn't in that state where all of the guns are, but somehow they get over here where all of the gun control is, and it's the gun, not the gun control, being the problem. Our people have to have
that,
a well-rounded.
That, by the way, is an excellent point. Be sure and emphasize that. Where you can buy these guns, there's no gun problem. Where you can't and you claim they're being smuggled into, it is. So what's the difference? Is it the guns or the character of the people who live in the other area?
Right. And if it's the, let's say, arbitrary number, 1,000 bad guys in a city of I don't know however many million, if it's the same 1,000 bad guys doing most of the crime, and then they have a district attorney who's going to talk about his upbringing and not actually push charges for the actual crime, and this guy gets out and does it again, now we got this revolving door. So you want to say that, you know, oh, all of the blacks in this community. No, it's a few guys that are doing the same things with weak district attorneys. As a gun owner, I'm not soft on crime. I'm not with overstepping the government overstepping their boundaries in regards to privacy and things of that nature. But if a guy is using a firearm for violence, unjustified killing, robbing, raping, I want him to have his day in court. I want him to go all the way to jail. I think we as gun owners also have to be more, you know, vocal about that, because the left will spin it as if we on the right that identify more right-leaning, somehow because we like our freedoms and we have very little trust for government, rightfully so, somehow that means that we're okay with wanton, unnecessary violence, and nothing can be further from the truth. All of these things, I know I'm throwing a lot at the listeners, all of these things are a holistic that we have to inculcate ourselves in so we can be able to understand that this is a well-rounded situation. That's going back to our work in Philadelphia. Our murder rate here was over 560 homicides for the year 2021. We have a stated goal this year of trying to reduce that by 25%. You know, we have some great, you know, Brownells has been a great donor. We have two sponsors now, which is Brownell and Phoenix Ammunition, okay? These are companies that are financially assisted and got behind a lot of our work. We have a lot of work ahead of us. If we can do it in Philadelphia, where there's a lot of homicides, then we can start showing value. Then we can also start tapping into companies and say, this is scalable. This can reduce violent crime, improve the quality of life for the lowest rung, unfortunately, of Americans, right? Poor, middle-class Americans. We can make those communities safer there in turn. More businesses are welcome to come in. And we don't have to rely on police. We don't have police risking their life as much, law enforcement. Saying all of this to say, this is the work. This is the update of our work. Now, to do it locally, we showed value when we did it locally in Philadelphia in 2016. 244 homicides that year, which is still a lot. But again, that was the lowest Philadelphia had since 1979. We leave, it creeps up. we go back, we drop it down again, 25% at least, we have something here. Then we can show that this is something that all communities can benefit from, and we expose the farce that gun control is somehow making us safer. It is not. I have a bunch of firearms. There is no crime in my home. If it was the gun, my house would not be safe. And so we just got to make sure that we are hitting those talking points. And it's not even necessarily a talking point. It's a way of life. It's a value system of respect. Something you said that I thought was amazing, Judge, in talking about, you know, the character of the person. I am not, you know, and something you said earlier, too, that ties into it. I am not a nonviolent man. I am a very violent man and dangerous man that has that under voluntary control. That's what makes me a good man. I am okay with doing amazing levels of violence to stop people from doing evil things. I am okay with that. I think all good men should be. I think translating that, instead of this, again, falsehood that nonviolence gets things accomplished, you know, that's not true. Dr. King utilized the tactic because television was happening during that time, and he appealed to certain people's empathy at that place. However, America was not built on nonviolence. It was built on violence. Violence. We, you know, the British folk saying, or the, you know, hey, no, you're going to continue to, we're going to tax you without representation. You got to be a colonies of us. And those guys said, no, no, thank you. And then when they said in 1775, send those rifles back. No, the founders to this place said, shot them. They shot them. That's it. So violence has its place. It is not the place. It is not the first resort. It is the, it's not the only answer. It's the last answer when it is the answer. And we have to be okay with that to defend our communities, as well as teaching our people that, you know, this is a last resort and we are capable of it, but we also will not accept it unnecessarily within our communities, and we will not consistently be terrorized. I believe that we can break down some of that violence by giving some people some sort of different opportunities on knowledge. Trade. That's why the Solutionary Center isn't just guns. You know, how do you change oil? Hey man, what do you work with your hands? Cool. My guy right there is a mechanic. He owns a mechanic shop. It's one of the longest standing black owned mechanic shops in Philadelphia. Let's get some guys learning over there. My point here is, again, this is a holistic approach. We need everybody's hand on deck. I want to make sure that we secure this locally, cut down on that violent crime 25% in Philadelphia. Then we can show value and scale it out to all of these places that absolutely need this holistic approach.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I appreciate that, Jeff.
You know something else? You know something else that bothers me about it? The clowns that are driving this thing about gun control so strenuously also simultaneously push emotively driven conduct. They're into emotionalism. They're anti-masculine in terms of the masculine thing being tight control of your emotions. And I remember 55 years ago when they were going around advocating men need to be revived in their souls and we need to end this masculine control of things. War is a man thing. Men need to learn to express themselves, to emote, to cry, to shout, to let it all hang out instead of trying to be so uptight and under self-control. Well, 55 years later, after years, decades of this garbage, you now have completely out of control emotive cretins who do not have man in them. And they kill folk, and they deal with explosions of emotively driven violence because they are not under self-control. And I just don't get it. I mean, the same jackasses that are talking about the Defense Department may or may not be strengthened are not talking about unilateral disarmament. Far from it. But they want to say that their community should have this unilateral disarmament. And it would be just as stupid because on a national level, all we're talking about is a collection of individuals. So the collection is no different than the that which it is made of. Now, we have a human nature. We kill. We kill a lot of things. That's how most of the stuff is in an endangered situation unless we protect it. And a
right.
lot of stuff that used to eat us for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is now endangered, and we eat everything else that gets eaten. But you see,
right.
the thing of it is that until something happens, some evolution occurs, so this is no longer the apex predator, but is a super cow or something that finds some way to protect itself. And what's it going to protect itself with since it doesn't have fangs and claws? You know,
right.
it's got to have
right.
weaponry to keep its position in the world. Mother Nature
right.
sets
right.
stuff up.
Right.
So what are we supposed to do? And then when you get idiots who go around trying to talk about the boys to be emotional. If you don't want to be a boy, be a girl. If you don't want to do this, do that. If you want to go out and just, you know, whine and cry and all of this other stuff and forget your responsibilities, okay. No, see, that's not appropriate acculturation and socialization of a human child, boy or girl. And when they start talking that, implementing public, social, and educational and economic policy that forced that on the republic, you are creating a body politic more and more out of control, unable to control itself. And then do you expect that group is going to follow laws? And I used
right.
to look at this sometimes when I listened to the wrong kind of DAs. Do you really think this 5-year tack on about having a pistol is going to deter somebody who's willing to risk the electric chair for killing somebody? Do you
right.
really?
Right, right.
Judge,
5 more years and they're going to kill him?
Judge, he's got
it just doesn't make sense, sir.
Another engagement, Judge, so we're going to have to pick it up. Real quick, can you give us a
well,
quick comment regarding Whoopi Goldberg, and then
thing.
I'm going to play
him,
it for...
Give him my number so he can contact me. I
okay.
want to talk to him about fostering some of the stuff he's doing. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Moz, can we get a comment regarding Whoopi real quick, and then your social
yeah.
media and any promotions? Could you repeat it?
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Show Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.